Worship God. Worship the God. Worship God. Hallelujah. He's in this house. Come on now, worship God. He's in this house. Worship Him. It's all about Jesus. Everything is all about Jesus. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Just the way you want it. Work it out. Bless the Lord. Where you want your children, in the hands of the Holy Ghost. Anybody say amen? What He's doing for her, He'll do for all their children. There's vacancies going to happen in the church. Our young people is going to have to fill them. We're going to have to step up. We're going to have to step up into that responsibility. Step up into those slots. Amen. That's the way it happens right here. Can I get an amen? Come on, somebody raise your hand again. Worship God.
Yeah.
Do it, Holy Ghost. Do it, Holy Ghost. Do it, Holy Ghost. Do it, Holy Ghost. Have your way. Let him have his way, Jacqueline. Let him have his way. Give it to him. Turn it over to him. For the Lord would say to thee, upon thy children and thy children's children have I promised. Yea, in this last day I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Ye that are hungry, ye that are thirsty, ye that are dry and barren, ye that feel that you have missed your opportunity, come back to me, for I will blossom your desert. And I will cause water to spring out of your parched place. And I will again pour out my spirit. As I have promised, I will help thee. I am here to do so, saith the Lord. Raise your hands and worship God.
Thank God. Hallelujah. 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 Holy, glory, glory.
Amen. Come on, worship him. Worship him. He's the one that can make it happen. No man can make it happen. It takes God. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't he wonderful? I'm going to raise your hands over the house and ask God to help me for a few minutes. I'm not going to preach long. I'm not going to preach hard. I'm just going to preach a few minutes over this altar. Amen. And ask God to come to help us. Amen. From John chapter 2, verse number 7, I'm going to read. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. He saith to them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. The Lord would help me for a little while. I want to preach to you tonight on risk takers. Risk takers. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Construction crew was laying a drain line. It's part of a new building project, and while excavating, the workmen uncovered a power cable directly in their path. The foreman called the electrician who was wiring the new building. The electrician looked at the cable and assured the foreman that the cable was dead. Just cut it out of your way. Are you sure there's no danger? The foreman asked. Absolutely, was the reply. The foreman then said, well, then, will you cut it for us? The electrician hesitated a moment, and with a slight smile said, well, I'm not that sure. Risk takers. If God would help me, I would like to talk to you about risk takers. From Abraham early in the Old Testament to Paul in the New Testament, our faith has been moved forward. The church has been built by risk takers. People who broke out of shells by faith went forward. People who knew that to grow meant that you would have to take a risk. To change, you would have to take a risk. Do you ever ask yourself how a lobster can go from 3 pounds to 4 in the shell that they carry? Do you ever ask yourself how a 2-pound lobster can become a 3-pound and then a 4-pound lobster? That's a pretty tough shell if you ever eat lobster. Well, I'm glad you asked me, because I want to tell you. It's a risky business. The lobster has to find a place that he feels like he is safe. Then he sheds his old shell, and by the membranes that are underneath the old shell, he starts to draw a new one. And he goes from a 2-pound lobster to a 3-pound lobster. And for every pound he gains, he must shed the old shell in order to grow into a new, heavier, healthier lobster. I feel like I have preached to some folks that's been in the same shell so long that you feel so cramped. You know there's more, but you're so cramped. But you know it's risky to change. A lobster could be fish bait if caught without his shell. The violent currents of the ocean could bang him up against a rock, damage himself for the rest of his life, if not kill him. There is risk-taking that's involved in growth. I wonder tonight if I can convince you that there is really, down deep in your heart, a hope that you can see yourself better than what you see yourself now. That you can see some growth in your future. There's always risk. Look at these young men that are put to risk just by the request of Jesus. They had no assurance that he was going to make water into wine. It seemed like something that they really could have taken any different way. They could have said, I don't know this man. I know nothing of this man. Why should I do what he's asked me to do? They could have half-heartedly went and poured some water in the pots. But that wasn't the risk. They obeyed and filled the water pots to the brim. But as soon as they had him to the brim, As soon as the last one was filled, as soon as everything was right, he said, draw out now. Take it to the governor. That's where the risk is. You just got through pouring water in there. Now he wants you to take it to the governor as wine. The young cupbearers were going to be put into a place of embarrassment if that is just water. They're going to be scolded if it is bad wine. They're going to be put at risk that they have interrupted a wedding feast with something cheap. So they bear it to the governor and they stand there waiting for the governor's approval. This is good. Call the bridegroom. Tell him, I've got a word for him. And the word to the bridegroom was, you save the best to the last. The risk was worth it. The risk was worth it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There it is, right in front of us. Every one of us must deal with risk. If we're to do anything for God, we must be willing to deal with risk. President Teddy Roosevelt said in a speech, I'll just paraphrase it, it is far better to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even endure some failures, than to be one of those poor spirits who never taste victory or suffer defeat because they live in the gray twilight zone of a no-risk safety. The twilight zone of a no-risk safety. You wait for the Lord to knock you out of the pew before you dance. You wait for somebody to say, us lift our hands, and you do it with a whole crowd. No risk there. Jacqueline got singled out tonight, got put up here in front of everybody to show us that God can make you grow. That he can take you from a little girl and make you face responsibility that if you want more of God, you got to give God more of you. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
It's a risk that you'll lose your friends because no one wants to be put into a situation. So your friends may hold you back. They may tell you, you don't have to do that. You don't have to pray like that. You don't have to sacrifice like that. You don't have to go like that.
Come on.
But that's a no-risk safety zone that you're in. You're as good as somebody else, and that's all you want to be. You just want to fit in the clique, just want to fit in the little move. Todd has been provoking these young men to try to do better. He's got them coming on Sunday to pray and play. Because not all of them that's coming are praying. They play and pray. But after a while, play will win out over praying. The flesh is weak. You're not helping me. But there's a no-risk safety zone. Till you break out of it, you're not going to grow. Till you say, if I have to do it by myself. Brother Collins sings that song. I don't know if he wrote it. He may have wrote it. If I pray, if I have to, I'll pray by myself. That breaking out of the no-risk safety zone. How long has it been since the Holy Ghost has had full control of you? How long has it been since you have offered yourself knowing it's risky? You don't know what he's going to do. He could put you in the floor. He could roll you under a pew. He'd stand you, spin you like a top. You never know what he's going to do. But it's worth the risk.
Right.
Oh, we should help me. It is right here. A man who protects himself from the raindrops will never find out how beautiful they are. No, there is an individuality about snowflakes. Each one of them is born in the risk that they will not even reach the ground. And once on the ground, they blend into the whiteness, but pick one snowflake out, catch it. And God is an architect like none other, for each one of them is different. The risk of difference. Can you stand the risk of being different? To laugh is to risk appearing a fool. To weep is to risk appearing sentimental. To reach out for another is a risk of involvement. To expose feelings is a risk of rejection. To place your dreams before a crowd is the risk of ridicule. To love is to risk not being loved in return. To go forward in the face of overwhelming odds is to risk failure. But risk must be taken, because the greatest hazard in life, the greatest hazard in life is right here, is to risk nothing. To have revival, somebody must risk saying it. To have hope, somebody must risk opening your mouth and saying, I believe that's going to happen. I've got a hope it will happen. No matter what other people think of you, you must be willing to risk something. To risk nothing is to sit in a safety zone where you're going to die stagnated like a pool of water. I've tried to get you to come along and help me. I've pulled for you. I've asked you for your help. And what I'm getting, the signal that I'm getting, is you don't want to risk it. God may wake you up in the middle of the night. God may place a burden on you that causes you to weep all night long. You may wet your pillow. You may have convictions that nobody else has, because God gives them to you. But that's what you got to risk to be God's man. And that's what you got to risk to be God's woman. You can't have it without risk. It will not come to you without risk. The person who risks nothing, does nothing, has nothing, is nothing. Let me read it to you again. The person who risks nothing, does nothing, has nothing, is nothing. If you're doing it to avoid sorrow, if you're doing it to avoid suffering, you can never learn what it is to change or to grow or to learn. You want to know more about Jesus? You got to risk following him. You want the Lord to speak to you? You've got to risk having to get away by yourself. You may miss the fun that the group is having. But is it worth the risk? I say absolutely. A person who is chained by his certitude is a slave. A slave. You're a slave to what you are. You're never going to be more spiritual than what you're willing to risk. Don't sound like a pastor appreciation message, does it? This is a pastor appreciation message to his congregation saying, I appreciate you, but I appreciate you more if you would start doing better. In order for you to do better, you're going to have to put yourself at risk. Can I get an amen? Oh, you're not helping me. That's okay. Whatsoever thou findest to do, Do it heartily. Do it with all your might. That's risky. That's risky. But you can't please God doing it any other way. The risk is you've got to be true in heart. Did you ever hear those words? Listen, God preserveth them that are true of heart. God preserveth them that are true of heart. All they that are true of heart shall be glad. Be joyful, all ye that are true of heart. All this means is everything you do should be centered around taking a risk for God. Look at Peter. Come. It's risky, Peter. You ever walked on water before? Come. So Peter gets out of the boat in the middle of a storm. It's not a calm pond. It's a stormy sea. It's not a few foot deep. It's deep. Over his head. And he well knows it. Oh, he's the only man in the New Testament that walked on water. Though he tried and he almost failed, he did walk on water. Because he took the risk. Are you willing to step out and say, God, nobody's ever done this before. Nobody's ever thought this before. Nobody that's human has ever ventured this way before. But here I come. I'm going to risk it all. Because I'm coming to you. And when he stepped out of the boat, he did well for a while. Can I get an amen? Amen. Didn't he do good? I said, didn't he do good? Amen. Until he forgot how risky it was. And the winds started beating him. And the waves started lashing upon him. And all of a sudden he realized, this is risky. And he began to sink. And the Lord saved him. Pulled him back up and walked him back to the boat. What you cannot walk on with God's help, no matter how risky, you can do it. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. That's risky business, Paul. All things? All things. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Risky business. But there it is. Can you step up? Can you do that? Can you make the commitment? Fill them up to the brim. And as soon as they get to the brim, without hesitation, draw it out now and take it. Up to the brim. Next thing it is, pour it out. Take it. Do something with it. Can you imagine the consternation those young men had when they knew they just poured water where they got it at? It had been water for as long as they could remember. They got the water from the same place. They got it every day of their life. They had now filled the water, the pots up with the same water. They'd drunk, washed their hands in, done everything in, same water. And now he says, draw it out. Take it to the governor. It'd been some of us, you know what we had said? You do it. That's too risky for me. You do it. You want it done. You feel like that's the will of God. You do it. Are you going to help me? With a woman, she came to Elisha with a great perplexing problem. Her sons were about to be sold. Am I right? How many remember the story? Am I right? Is that not a problem? Not a problem in our day, right? They take your house, they take your car, but they can't take you. Back then, they could take you. They could take your sons and let them work until they paid that bill. Her sons would have been in slavery. until that bill was paid. They were owned by somebody else until the bill was paid. She knew what that meant. The potential of their years was going to be put around somebody else's indebtedness. They were going to have to work until they paid their daddy's debt. So she came to the man of God and told him the creditors have come. Elisha said, what do you got in your house? Some oil. He said, go borrow vessels, not a few. Now, can you imagine that woman going back to her house, hefting that little cruse of oil? Because if she had a lot of it, she would have sold it, tried to pay some of that debt. She just had a little bottle of cooking oil. She hefted it and said, don't look like an answer to me. But she said to her boys, go borrow vessels. Borrow everything you can borrow. Borrow it from anybody who will loan it to you. And bring it here in this house and shut the door. We're going into the oil business. It's a risky business. I don't know how long the oil will last, but we're going to pour it out. Can you imagine the joy when that little cruse had filled one twice its size? The risk seemed to be less. And then another. And another, and the risk seemed to almost disappear. The risk was when those boys went out and borrowed, said, what's your mama want with my pan? I don't know. Mama said, borrow it. And they brought it back to mama, and mama had to promise. All the man of God said, use what you got. It's risky business. You may not have much confidence in yourself, but do as you feel like you ought to do. And she borrowed vessels and poured until there was not another vessel to be filled. Amen. Then the oil stayed.
Right.
It's risky getting started. Amen. But God's got the power to do everything.
Amen.
You see, her risk was get the vessels. God created oil. How many know God can create oil? Can you see him doing it? Come on now. Look at it. It's right there. She's got one in her hand, and that's the only source of supply. It's not big. It's a small handheld vessel. And she's got a floor full of pots and pans. Risky business. But she tips it and she pours it, and the risk diminishes by her obedience. And the more she obeys and the less she doubts, the more the oil flows until there's not a room in that house that doesn't have oil in a pot. One preacher said, God don't put you in debt. He gets you out of debt. He'll put you in business. Said this woman went into the oil business. Overnight success. She paid all of her debt and lived on the rest. Do you know there's always enough and more than enough? If you're willing to step out and let God, there's always more than enough. There's more than enough grace. There's more than enough power. There's more than enough help. There's more than you ever need. There's more than you can think. Is it not right? He's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you ask or even think. Can you imagine it? It's risky to have an imagination. It's risky to see a great God. It's risky to hear somebody say, God can heal cancer. God can heal cancer. God can heal cancer. God can heal hearts. God can heal minds. God can turn it around. God can do wonderful. God can do mighty. It's risky to get up and say, my God can. My God can. My God can. But he can. We're not in the business of no risk. We're not in the business of some safety. We are out here. And God is our only support. But I would like to tell you, in the 48 years I've served Him, He's not failed me yet. He's an on-time God. He may not come when I think He should, but He's always been there. Can I get an amen? Have I got any risk takers? Somebody that would say, I'm willing to take a risk for a revival. I'm willing to take a risk to see something helped and see somebody healed and see somebody made whole. I'm willing to take a risk. I've got to step out. Somebody's got to say, God can. Somebody's got to say, God's a way maker. Somebody's got to say, God's a healer. Come on, somebody shout amen. Amen. Brother Shannon was just getting through praying the other night. I was waiting on him. When he got through praying, I sat down beside him. I know he's struggling. I know he's got a physical ailment. And it's rough. He don't know how it's going to work out. He don't know what's going to happen. I sat down beside him and began to talk to him. You know what his answer was after I got through talking to him? That's exactly what I was reading today. I said, I just come by to put this postcard in your pocket. God does care. When you read that Bible, that's God's voice. And then He confirms it by sending somebody else to sit down beside you and say, now this is what the Bible said. And this is what the Bible said. And this is what the Bible said. And this is what the Bible said. It's risky to sit down and try to tell somebody and then hear them say, that's exactly what I've been thinking. That was what we were talking about today. Amen. I think it was Sister Lee come up one time, said, you're scary. I said, how's that? She said, you preached what we were talking about today. It's risky. Sometimes you have to step out on nothing but faith. But there is a God who can handle any faith that you got. Whether it's little faith or great faith, He's able to handle your faith. And if you'll risk your faith, if you'll put your faith in God, if you'll take the risk, you say, well, what if I get embarrassed? I have never been embarrassed by God. Never! Never has God embarrassed me. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
And if you've trusted Him like I've trusted Him, He's never failed you either. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Have you seen the dead raised? Yes. Have you seen the sick healed? Yes. Have you seen God foretell your future? Yes. Has God ever spoke to you? Yes. It's risky business to stand up here and tell you God speaks and I can hear Him speak because it makes me look like a loony bird. But where I look like a loony bird or not, I know that I have heard His voice. I know it was God that spoke to me to come here. I know it was God that spoke to me to take the Hilltop Church. I know it was God that spoke to me to take the Scotland Church. I have heard His voice since I was a young man. It's risky. But without taking the risk, there's no growth. Some of you have got to come out of your safety shell. Somebody obey God. Somebody obey the Lord right now. God wants to confirm His word. Somebody now obey God. Let it be established in the mouth of two or three. Obey God. Art thou then ashamed? Art thou then ashamed? Do I not trust me? Can I not trust you? We are now at this complex moment where I am asking you to trust me. Will you risk it? Will you forsake all and follow me? Will you take up your cross and follow me? Will you come after me? Will you obey me? Yea, saith the Spirit, I have spoken in times past of my help to you, and yet I wait for your help to be given to me. I have not sent angels to do your work. I have not sent strangers to do your work. I have called upon you to step out and trust me. Step out and see what I can do. Step out and see that I can bring them in. I can help you. I will help you. But will you lend me your help? For I wait, and I see very few who are willing to risk it. Come. 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 Walk with me. Come. Be mine. Come. Come to me, and thou shalt see that I can change thee, and I will be thy Savior and thy God, saith the Lord. I know you want risk-free. Not in Christianity. No. You cannot have risk-free Christianity. You must risk everything. Who you are? What you are? You must give him all. That's the risk. Will you? Shall you? You want a ministry? Ah, there's the risk. Some folks hear folks talk about me, and I wonder, is that the guy that I know? It don't sound anything like the guy that I know, that Benny Sutherland that I know is not like that. Because I remember the risk. A young man with a family, and the Lord said, I must have all your time. I stepped out and put my family in jeopardy, trusting God. I quit my job, threw myself on his mercy, trusted him. Preacher told me the other day, he retired from the post office, and he said, I am well able to help in so many things. He said, I have the resources. I can help in a lot of things now. I said, well, I quit my job in 1971. I have been employed by God since 1971. Risky? Yeah. At the mercy of God. But here I stand tonight, and what I am, because I took the risk when I was young and gave myself to God and put my family at his mercy. You want a ministry? It's risky. You want God to stand by you? You got to stand with Him. I know it's quieter than a Baptist convention. But I got the message. And I have delivered it. And I'm going to ask you again, how does that lobster grow? And the only thing that you and I can find out by research is he takes a risk. Shucks off his shell. And while that other one is forming, he grows. And then he gets caught in another one. And he gets so cramped that he can't stand it no longer. And then he'll do it again for the fact of growing. Some of you are so cramped and you're not growing. You know you're not. You're no different now than you was years ago. You don't have anything to show for it. Nothing that you have done. Now I ask you, will you risk shucking that old life so that you can become more for God? Stand with me. Brother Gary, come up here and make this altar call for me. Come on. Come on. I don't like for him to sit back there. He needs to be up here where he can help me. Come on up here and make his altar call.
God has spoke to us tonight, hasn't he? He's challenged our hearts. Now it's up to us if we're going to do something with it. And he was talking there when he was reading there in John chapter 2 about those water pots. And we wonder sometimes, what do I have to offer God? And they needed wine, and all they had to offer was water. But if we'll give God what we have to offer, he can take what we have to offer and turn it into what we need. But it's first, we have to give him what we got. Oh, that's hard, ain't it? Hallelujah. Sometimes it's so hard to turn loose and just let God. It's hard to step out. It's risky. Brother Benny's preached to me tonight, as well as you. Hallelujah. Are we willing to take the risk? We got to be willing to take the risk or we're going to be stuck right where we're at. I don't know about you, but I feel like we're living in the last days, Brother Benny. If we're ever going to do anything for God, I started praying, Brother Mike, at the first of the year. I said, God, I want to do more than I've ever done in my life. Why? Because I feel like we're down to the end and everything else is just vanity. Hell, and only what we're going to do for God is what's going to matter. Hell, you really think we're living there? We say it with our mouth. Are we living like we're living in the last days? I want to wind this thing up doing more than I've ever done. If it calls for taking a risk, God, help us to be willing to take the risk. Let us be willing to draw the water and depend on you to turn it into wine. Hell, he's a God that's able to do that, ain't he? Hell, as they get us a song tonight, God's challenged our hearts. The pastor has preached wonderful to us. God spoke to us tonight. I said God spoke to us. He used Brother Benny to speak to us tonight. It's up to us now. Won't you come in and pray? Let's be willing to take the risk tonight. Can we do it? Come on, church.